on today's Compassion Radio.
Sometimes it seemed that there was a divine intervention in terms of the people that we met to enable us to do the things that we did. In a city of 10 million people, we would bump into old acquaintances on the street. And that kept happening over and over again.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth, and fresh off our 73rd anniversary celebration this past weekend. Thanks for tuning in to Compassion Radio. This ministry has a long legacy of speakers and servants who've traveled to some far-flung places, experiencing events and telling stories that often come with a qualifier, something like, "It's true. It happened just the way Norm describes it. You just can't make this stuff up." Well, on today's program, Bram Floria reflects with a longtime friend to this ministry, a gentleman whose skills, wisdom, and expertise have endeared him to Norm and Cher Nelson and scores of Compassion Radio listeners. It's a timely visit today as we in this radio family continue an earnest prayer for our dear brother Norm, who has struggled mightily with his health in recent months. We've got much to cover today and many stories to recount. So here's Bram to make introductions as we kick off this new week.
Friends, today on Compassion Radio, we welcome back probably one of the key friends of the ministry over the past 20 or 25 years. The man's name is Jim Jennings. Now, he holds a raft of titles. Jim, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. It's really an honor to be here, and especially in thinking about the friendship that I've enjoyed with Norm Nelson and Compassion Radio over the years.
Jim, before we get started, I want people to know where you come from and what kind of authority you have to speak to the issues that we're going to be talking about today. First of all, what do you consider your official title now?
I'm president of Conscience International and the executive director of U.S. Academics for Peace. Those are two different things. One is humanitarian, the other is a peace advocacy group.
And that's among some of the top academics on the planet. You go to places and engage them in conversations that have real impact and influence with their own governments, because these are some of the highest-ranking philosophers and scientists of those nations you visit, correct?
Right. And I started out as an archaeologist digging in the Holy Land in Palestine, and then in Egypt at the pyramids. And I taught Middle East history and archaeology and religion, all those subjects, for many years. And Norm once said that he thought I was one of the smartest people on the planet.
Yes,
and I
you
thought
are.
That's because he was such a lover of knowledge, and he would inquire incessantly to me, explaining things about ancient times or medieval times, anything that could help him in his understanding of the world. So he had a thirst for knowledge.
Yes, he did.
I really appreciate it. So we made a great friendship that way.
And I also got the impression from what I heard him talking about you that for a man who had already pursued his own raft of doctorates, he was like a puppy following you around in your wake. You thought that highly of you.
Well, I studied for a long time, but the other thing is that Norm was insatiable in his quest of knowledge and reading. He would ask me for books to read. He would probe many things and then exchange information with me, which was tremendously stimulating as well.
So on today's program, we're going to dig a little deeper because you're a pro at this. You know how to dig, as you mentioned. You're an archaeologist, and you're an archaeologist now for the kingdom. So let's talk about some of those places today. Now, you've been one of these people that have drawn out of him a deep-seated passion for pursuing the thing that God is doing at the very cutting edge of Christianity, which meant not just looking forward to the new thing, but rediscovering the very, very old thing that God planted a seed in the original church, the one that flowed out of the first century, where the apostles made their mark on this planet and brought the gospel to cultures and countries and peoples that had never experienced the hope of the gospel before. And tying that into a world history was profound for Norm. And it has had a profound impact on our listeners over the years as we realize that we are tapping into a rich history, tradition, and legacy, which is the faith that we have in Jesus Christ.
Well, yes, and isn't it interesting that those people who did those marvelous works were ordinary people? They were people who had a compassion and a vision for the people that they saw around them, and especially for people who were suffering, people who had encountered misfortune in their lives. And boy, have we seen that together with Norm in traveling to these various countries. When I was reflecting on it or thinking about it, is it about Iraq, where we encountered gunfire on the street one night and I dashed into a building for safety and I found out Norm had dived under an automobile to get away from the gunfire? Or was it in Sudan when we flew in after midnight and arrived at 5 a.m. to be confronted by guards on the tarmac saying, no, 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 you're not allowed in this country. Go back to Cairo, to Egypt. And we did. We spent a week there trying to get the snafu fixed and get official permission to go. And we ended up going to Darfur, where the people were suffering so badly.
We're talking about a time, too, when Darfur is barely on the international map. I mean, people didn't even realize that something was going on to be dealt with before it became a worldwide cause. So let me backtrack one step here. The two of you met because of your love for and your respect for learning and the people who bring truth to their generations or who are the spokespersons for truth in their cultures each generation. So that brought you in contact with a lot of people that we in the West might say, you don't go there. These people are radicals. Nonetheless, you too went in there into the high halls of power throughout the Middle East and met and made friends with people that many in the West would consider enemies. Now, that's an extraordinary statement in itself because it's true. You actually built friendships. So let me step back then about how the relationship began with Norm in those earlier years. What were you doing that brought Norm in?
Well, we met in Afghanistan, and it was a joint project. Afghanistan was cold, but the war was hot. You had to sleep under a stack of five blankets at night. But I think we really got started together in Iraq. We had a protest march or peace walk to Baghdad, and Norm was there recording our group and filming it for broadcast. His heart and his passion were very much into that same issue. How could we call attention to the fact that a new war in this unfortunate country was not a very good idea, and it would do nothing but damage the lives of people? And it's those lives that Norm was most concerned about, people who were suffering in every conceivable way and in refugee camps. Today, there are more camps than ever and more people that are miserable than ever. I know that we went to Eritrea and we interviewed people in Sudan who had escaped from Eritrea. Mm-hmm. One pastor, Mengistu, had been in prison for 3 months, beaten, tortured, urged to recant his faith. He tried to escape, but he was recaptured and beaten and forced to crawl on his elbows over knife-sharp stones, and he showed us the scars. Norm and I were there recording the interview. We were astonished at the steadfastness and strong Christian faith of this young man. Eventually, he got into the army. He walked through the front lines and into safety in the country that he was supposed to be fighting against, into Sudan. And it was this kind of thing that motivated Norm very much. Goals that were high and lofty and almost impossible to be achieved. But yes, you're right. We met high-level individuals, presidents, vice presidents, foreign ministers, parliamentarians, ambassadors. And Norm always conveyed this sense of sincerity, openness, friendliness, tremendous commitment to understanding, finding out the truth.
Such a blessing to be able to get these wonderful insights from our dear brother Jim Jennings on today's Compassion Radio. And I promise we'll get right back to his discussion with Bram in just a moment. March is always a special time of year for us. Since we officially just celebrated our 73rd anniversary of radio ministry on March 25th. This month, would you consider blessing us with a special anniversary gift of $25, $50, even $73 or more? Remember, no gift is too small or too large for that matter. And if each of us does just a small part, God can truly multiply these gifts in amazing ways. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. 2478. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com.
Norm always conveyed this sense of sincerity, openness, friendliness, tremendous commitment to understanding, finding out the truth.
Now, he depended on your depth of faith and your powerful prayers to carry him during those times, because he felt like his faith wasn't enough to carry him into these dangerous situations, and he found a real friend in you because God had trained you how to be an effective prayer, and you taught him that. So tell me about a time when prayer covered something or opened up an opportunity that would not have happened but for the hand of God.
Well, we had many such times, and Norm was a true seeker after wisdom. He also was a peacemaker, and he wanted to meet people that could actually affect that or have some influence on it. And so we met with the former president of Sudan, the vice president as well, many leaders and parliamentarians. Those people, just think about it, the kind of people that Norman was concerned about were those that we met at Kalma Camp in Darfur.
Mm-hmm.
The people whose suffering is of a magnitude that's incalculable.
Yeah.
I mean, we can only get a small sampling of what it must mean for a million people to be driven out of their homes by killers and rapists, have to flee barefoot across hot sands carrying everything they own, and sometimes their aged parents or sick relatives and infants with them, without food or water, being pursued by horsemen and camel-mounted with guns, often backed by planes and helicopters that strafe and bomb and burn. And their shelter doesn't consist of anything but sticks stuck in the ground, tied together in a hut-like shape and covered with laboriously gathered and hastily woven grass mats. These are things that Norm and I saw with our own eyes. The walls of these huts are often made of mere bundles of grass straw, and they sleep on the sandy ground. Thus, they're lucky enough to have a cloth or a blanket or plastic sheet provided by the UN. And so these people have to gather firewood for themselves. If they go far out of the camp, the women will be captured and raped. The sick have no medical services. We saw many people lying on the ground in intense heat, sheltered only by a grass mat, some of them afflicted with malaria and totally enervated. And this kind of thing we saw in the Darfur camps there.
And this is something that you witnessed going on and on for years and years, and in some respects is still going on in places that the media has not covered yet throughout Africa.
In South Sudan particularly, and now in the south of Uganda and many other places.
And of course, in the face of that, you can't help just as a human being, but to be at least somewhat compassionate. You can't face that suffering and consider yourself a human being and turn away from that with cruelty. But beyond that, the kind of compassion that Christ brought out of both of you was one of vision, of seeing God transform hearts at the lowest and highest level so that real peace could happen in countries that had never known it. Now, we talk about South Sudan as being the world's youngest nation, and its entire history has been full of strife. So there's nothing new for them. It's been all they've ever known. And there's a whole generation of young people coming up now that have never known anything but war and aggression. And the same thing's true of all the children growing up in the shadow of ISIS now. I want to ask you a philosophical point, Jim. Is there hope for peace in any of these regions?
There is hope, and I think it starts with people realizing their situation, and they have to change. I don't think that we can actually bring about a change for them from the outside. We can help them. I think the nexus between a dogmatic political philosophy and a religious philosophy that says if we kill people, we're doing God a favor, that is something that Norm and I ran into frequently. But the other thing about Norman, I think, was very successful was he was always able to engage people on the level where they were, no matter if they were people from militias like the Janjaweed in Sudan or with the Taliban in Afghanistan or other groups in Lebanon and other areas where the fighting is going on. So the effort that we made to get into Sudan was in the face of a coup attempt that was going on, and that's why we were sent out of the country in the middle of the night.
I remember the struggles we had just communicating with you all during that trip and trying to make sure that you were alive, first of all, and second, that we'd be able to continue the narrative that Christ was going to bring redemption and comfort and encouragement to the Christians that were hiding in Sudan at the time. So we have prayed a lot during those weeks that God would open up doors. And it was a great relief for us when you finally all reached a phone and were able to tell us you were in a safe location. But then also a sense of disappointment that the initial attempt to get into where we wanted to go was thwarted. So a whole new round of prayer began that God would open up new doors. And in that example of going back to Sudan, God didn't just bring you back to the spot you were. He waited for a second in order to open up some new doors that he intended. Maybe you could recap what happened in Sudan on that trip.
Well, I think it's important to realize what the goals that we had were. They were very high-sounding goals in a way, and that is in Eritrea, we wanted to see if we could do anything to bridge the gap between the warring parties to advocate peace, at least. And the only way to do that is to meet with high-level officials, which we put a lot of effort into as well. One other thing I'd like to mention, and that is that we did not just push our way in, but sometimes it seemed that there was a divine intervention in terms of the people that we met to enable us to do the things that we did. In a city of 10 million people, we would bump into old acquaintances on the street. Mm. I mean, and that kept happening over and over again. Yes. And then when we, at the end of our resources and efforts, we never gave up, but we became very frustrated. Usually at those times, somebody would walk in and cut through the problems and help us. Again, I credit Norm and his openness, and he kept soldiering on in spite of difficulties. So we wanted to free prisoners in Eritrea. We wanted to get to Darfur in order to do what we could to alleviate suffering of people, in especially the largest of the camps there. And then we ran into incredible difficulties doing just that. But I think the experience taught us that we have to be persistent. And this was one of Norm's qualities.
Oh, yes.
When you get to the point of doing all that you can do, and then you tend to throw up your hands, that's when the miracles occurred.
Yes. Now, I want to get to some of those miracles again, but we're going to have to do it on tomorrow's program. Jim, I know you've got a tight schedule today, but I hope you'll be able to spare us a few minutes to share some more stories from the road of what God did in and around and through you all. As Norm, representing Compassion Radio, and Jim Jennings, who represents the entire world now, was able to do some incredible and unheard of things in getting access to the real halls of power and putting the stamp of the gospel in places that needed it and still do. Jim, would you be willing to stick around with us for another program?
Certainly. Anything in terms that would honor the work that Norm has done over the years, I'd be glad to.
Amen. We'll get back to that on tomorrow's program.
What a great conversation today between Bram and our special guest, Jim Jennings, on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll continue with part two tomorrow. Now, Bram and his wife, Sandy, are going to drop in just a moment with a special closing word, so stay close. Hey, real quick, I want to mention once again that Compassion Radio hit a tremendous milestone over the weekend that is really worth celebrating. This past Saturday, the 25th, marked our 73rd year of ministry on radio. 73 years of God's faithfulness to us in this ministry, which was originally known as the Morning Chapel Hour. That said, would you consider an extra special 73rd anniversary gift above and beyond your usual support? Maybe a gift of $5 or $10 for each year you've listened to the broadcast. Remember, no gift is too small, and if thousands of us join together, there's just no telling how God can multiply what you give in amazing ways. Our phone lines are open, and Paula or Lena would love to take your call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Oh, and one more item. Ask for your copy of the Lee Strobel booklet we're offering this month, The Case for Easter, with your gift of any size to Compassion Radio. But don't delay. We want to make sure we can get it into your hands before Easter arrives. That's The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel. Yours this month by request for your gift of any size this anniversary month at Compassion Radio. Let us hear from you today. And don't forget that special word from Bram and Sandy you won't want to miss right after Morning Song.
He has brought us together, each of us a different gift to give. We'll serve Him forever, even if the cost is everything. He has called us to be faithful. So with one heart we give His offering. More than just making harmony. The reason we sing is to praise the one who gave His Son to me. The reason we silent, we've got to let the world hear what's inside.
And as we praise Him with our music, Jesus is the one we glorify. The reason we sing, the reason we lift our voice, is more than just making harmony. The reason we sing is to praise the one who gave His Son to be. The reason we sing, the reason we lift our voice is more than just making harmony. The reason we sing is to praise the one who gave His Son to be. The reason, the reason.
The words truly do say it all, don't they? Morning song with the reason we sing here on Compassion Radio. And with the last word, Bram and Sandy Floria.
Friends, I wanted to bring attention to our special premium offer this month. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to support the Ministry of Compassion Radio. And this being our anniversary month, we definitely need to see people step up and help us begin that process of planning for great new projects and great new ministry all around the world. So we need you, friends. And this special book called The Case for Easter is a blockbuster in a lot of ways. It's not a hard read. In fact, it's a fairly slim little volume, but it's going to bring a very powerful argument for the power and the reality of the resurrection, especially at a time of year where people are open to discuss these kind of topics.
I'm excited to read this book myself because of our recent trip to Orlando, Florida for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where they showed the movie A Case for Christ, which is the story of Lee Strobel's search for Christ and the reality of who he was, coming to the realization that Jesus Christ was in fact a real person. He died and rose again for him. Watching that film brought about a lot of emotion for me. It was very real and honest. I loved it. I really hope that our listeners will make an effort to go and see this film when it comes out.
And it's going to be talked about a lot in the media in the weeks to come. Now, I've got to say that I've not been a real fan of Christian films over the years, but this film, my friends, is on par with the finest dramas you've seen out of Hollywood ever.
Absolutely.
I'm really stunned about the quality of the acting and of the directing of this film. It is genuine, it is heartfelt, and it's going to make a big impact. Now, this book, again, it's an excerpt from the investigation that Lee Strobel did into the reality of the resurrection. And this little pamphlet is going to be something you're going to want to have in hand leading up to Easter.
You're going to want to have this pamphlet in your hands to give out to friends of yours or people that you know that are questioning the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus.
As we prepare for Easter being April 16th this year, we want to make sure to get this in your hands in time for the release of the film and for the Easter season coming up. So friends, please, as you support Compassion Radio this month, we'd love to send you a copy of this book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Easter. So order yours today.
Thank you, Bram and Sandy Floria. Reach us by phone by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're always there for you online at CompassionRadio.com. You can give there safe and secure. CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.